Welcome everybody to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I'm joined by George Sedano, friend of the show, of ESPN, of basically anywhere that you're watching basketball. I say friend of the show somewhat nervously.
Why nervously? I feel like I am a friend of the show. I felt like that actually is a real thing. We are actually friends.
Yeah.
And I've been on the show multiple times, hence that makes me a friend of the show.
Well, I just meant, you know, because you asked before the series started if we could still be friends after this.
So
I'm just making sure
we are still friends and still friend of the show. Yeah. Listen, I think that outside of game one, we've had some really good games.
I think so too. And actually, that's kind of where I wanted to start. So I've done a couple crossover shows with the host of Locked On Heat, David Ramil, and he was talking about how, like, I basically started saying that for the Heat, getting here is quite the accomplishment in and of itself. And he just stopped me right there, and he's like, "Yeah, but they expect to win, and not winning." He wouldn't go so far as to say not winning would be a disappointment, but he didn't start that far of that point. So from where you're sitting, you know, having covered the Heat, being from Miami, is just getting here, you know, enough to be now playing with house money, or are the Heat looking at it like, damn, do we miss an opportunity here?
I think it's a little bit of both, right? Mm-hmm. I think that he's right in this sense. Look, I know that organization as well as any organization in the sport. I was there for, I covered them daily for over a decade, okay? So I know all the players involved as far as the organization's concerned, from the front office to the coach to the owner. And he's right about that. Like, they're not in it to not win it. You know what I'm saying? Remember, this is the team that wouldn't tank. You know what I'm saying? When everyone was telling them they should tank, they were playing for, you know, whatever seed they can get in the playoffs, even with rosters that weren't necessarily all that great, which they would admit they made some mistakes on. And that's just how they're built, man. You know, mm-hmm. So when they get here, they're there to win. And they've got the best coach in the NBA, in my opinion. And I think, you know, you're seeing why, because he's in the last three games, not only have they been competitive, but they won one, and they should have, you know, had a real chance to win yesterday. So I think that when you look at how they're built, how they're constructed, you know, and I'm not saying just the roster, I'm saying just as an organization, I do think that's part of it. However, it's gravy. It's house money. You know what I mean? Like, I think deep down they thought, we like our matchup with Milwaukee. And we know if we get Milwaukee, we feel really good that we can beat them. And then that means we, you know, we'll probably meet them in the second round. That means we can get to the conference finals, and who knows from there. I think they're way ahead of schedule. You know, Bam is only 23. Tyler's only 20. You know, Jimmy looks as spry as he's ever looked. You know, everyone was worried about his injury history, or not injury history, but just playing for Tibbs, basically. Which most guys that play for him don't end up having long careers. But I do think that the way they handle their players from a militaristic type style in regards to conditioning, I think that that also plays a role in this. I think that they also, while everyone talks about their kind of crazy culture about, you know, body fat and this, that, and the other, they do that to keep guys healthy and give them longevity too. Like, I think that's part of it. So I think they, you know, on the flip side of that, it is house money some, because they've got good young players. They've got a guy in Jimmy that clearly has shown that he can be a leader, and they're going to have a lot of cap space in the summer of 21. I don't know. The 21 off season, right?
Whatever we're calling it.
Yeah. So they're going to show some growth next year. The East will be tougher, but in 21, they could find themselves in a real position to be a championship level team for a long time, depending on who they land in free agency.
So are they on schedule, ahead of schedule? Like, do they even apply your traditional schedule here? Or do they just say, you know what, we're going to try to win as many games or as in front of us and just kind of handle it that way?
Again, both. I think that outwardly they would say that. Internally, they believe that. But they also aren't ridiculous. You know what I'm saying? Like, they realize Tyler Hero at 20 years old is getting, even in the bubble, is getting an experience that he would never get otherwise, right? Yeah. Yes, I know there's no fans, this, that, and the other, but he's playing against LeBron and AD. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right. Yeah.
And you know, having moments where he's showing that he's a rookie, but having moments where you're like, damn, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And same thing with Bam throughout these playoffs. He's grown so much. He was their best player in the conference finals. So I think that, you know, all of this stuff has to make them feel good about their immediate future for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Bam also, but then especially Hero, Duncan Robinson for the Lakers side of things, Kyle Kuzma, obviously to a lesser extent with Kuz and with Alex Caruso, just learning that these guys were up to this moment, you know, just, yeah, there were stretches, Kuzma especially, there have been stretches where you're like, my dude, that no-look pass that even LeBron didn't even pick him up from. But then Alex Caruso has been up and down. But for all of these guys, I think for both of these organizations moving forward, the reason why not only is it an accomplishment to get here, but I think they can both get better in the coming years is because they're going to have cheap talent that they can now trust. They can just, you know, unquestionably trust because they're going to get better for these moments moving forward.
I agree wholeheartedly. I definitely 1,000,000% agree when it comes to Caruso. I agree to an extent with Kuzma, and this is why. It's not because of his skill, because his skill, when he plays the right way around LeBron and AD, which is when I think he's at his most efficient, okay, and the numbers will bear that out from a three-point percentage and just his ability to get to the basket and cutting and things of that nature. If he was willing, moving forward, to just say to himself, okay, this is what I'm going to be on this championship team. I'm going to be the guy who shoots wide open threes, and I'm going to be the guy that moves off the ball and gets easy buckets at the rim because everyone's paying attention to LeBron and AD. If he can subjugate his ego a little, and I think that he can be a piece on a championship team or a championship level team for a really, really, really long time. Mm-hmm. I just worry about him and his disposition when it comes to that role.
Yeah, because what he sees himself as.
Yeah, we've heard him talk about it openly. Like, he said things like a couple of weeks ago, right? Well, you guys know, you know, and I'm paraphrasing, but it was something to the effect of, you guys know, you know, I can do whatever's needed, right? I can start. You guys know I can start. You know, I can come off the bench. And it's just like those kind of things, they sound right. But listen, man, I've been covering this league for 17 years. When I hear that from a 25-year-old who hasn't made money yet, who was getting all the shots in the world before LeBron, I can sense there's like this internal struggle, right? Mm-hmm. Within him and within the construct of the team and its leadership. I do feel like there's something there. Like, they need to almost convince him, dude, this is the best thing for you. Mm-hmm. So I feel like with him, it's a little different. With Caruso, I'm 1,000,000% in buying in. And it's crazy with Kuzma because outside of Rondo prior to game four, Kuzma had the best net rating on the team outside of Rondo. So he is important to what they do. So hopefully he understands that.
Yeah, the Kuzma thing, let's just say I wouldn't be shocked if he wins his championship and then pursues more money, a larger role somewhere else.
Maybe ask for a trade or is open to a trade. Yes.
Yeah, it would be. I wouldn't say he asks for one, but yeah, could he be open to one? Could it be, oh, you guys want to send me to, you know, he'd probably prefer a larger market or whatever, but could you guys send me somewhere where I will start, where I will get as many shots as I think I need, where I can go out and carve out a larger niche for myself, and then maybe return to playing a smaller role on a better team later in my career? That's the kind of path. I wouldn't be shocked if that was Kuzma's preference here.
And I think, you know, I get it because, look, man, especially when you talk about guys that young, and I know at 25, he's not as young as some of these other guys, but I think because he's 25, I think that plays into it more, you know?
Yeah.
I got to get mine. I got to take care of myself, both on the court and off the court, right? Mm-hmm. So I do think that you may be onto something when it comes to that. And look, I think that, you know, this is going to sound crazy, but I'm telling you, I don't say these things. When I say things like this, it's because I have a pretty good idea Like, I think that the fact that when the AD trade happened, the Lakers were adamant to not trade Brandon Ingram. The problem was the Pelicans were adamant that they needed Brandon Ingram in that deal. Yep. And it was basically everybody but Brandon Ingram, including Kuz. And I think that when all that stuff happens and that stuff becomes public, it can bruise people. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I think that there's this kind of chip on his shoulder because of that stuff still, you know, like, I don't think that stuff has completely gone away.
Yeah. There were some moments last night or two nights ago, by the time you guys are listening to this, where Kuzma would miss a rotation and LeBron would really kind of look at him, give him a stare, not fully light into him, you know, but like looked at him, was like, dude.
Yes.
And earlier in this season and in the postseason, Kuzma would say like, my bad. But I saw his shoulders kind of slump a little bit. And that made me a little nervous. Let's take a quick second here when we come back. So we always hear about LeBron James' relationship with the Miami Heat. We always hear about, you know, how Pat Riley would have seen it almost as two championships to win one this year and then to keep LeBron from winning one as well. So I that part of it, I'm not that interested in, but Pat Riley was a former Laker. That's where he got his start. And I'm kind of interested in how he views the Lakers organization, how Lakers fans feel about Pat Riley, and see what dynamic might be going on there. So let's come back in a second. We'll talk about that. Today's show is also brought to you in part by Rock Auto. Head on over to rockauto.com, where you'll find a family business that has served auto parts to customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com for shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clips delivered directly to your door. The rockauto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specs, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the exact same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us" box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. So Pat Riley kind of has always felt like the one that got away, you know, for the Lakers.
Right.
I thought him going to New York and then eventually obviously going to Miami and having success at both of those stops, he's the dude in Miami now. And I kind of wonder if he ever felt like he had a chance at being the dude, despite the presence of Phil Jackson or Jerry West or whomever with the Lakers. So I understood why he might've wanted to move on, just like we talked about with Kuz. But I kind of wonder how he looks at the Lakers, you know, where they rank in terms of who he would have enjoyed getting a championship from, taking a championship from, more than he might admit publicly.
Oh, I think it's more of a LeBron thing. I think he's got ultimate respect for the Lakers organization. Yeah. Look, I'm sure you've heard these stories. You know, Pat has this palatial estate in Malibu, literally on the sand, right? Mm-hmm. That he bought eons ago, right? When he was in LA. With the Lakers, which you can imagine going back, you know, to the 80s, how cheap that was in comparison to what it costs now, right? So he's got this thing. He's got video cameras that he can see on his phone, right, of the house, including the ocean, the view of the ocean and the waves crashing. Like, I've seen this, so I know what I'm talking about when I tell you. So it has always been kind of a thing for him. It's kind of like Valhalla, right? Like this thing that's there. That he hopes to reach one day again.
Yeah.
And but I think that much like, you know, to use an adage from The Godfather 3, which isn't the best of those movies by any stretch, but
well, he kind of looks like Al Pacino in Godfather 3 by this point.
Right. But, you know, it does have that one line that every time I think I'm out, they pull me and drag me back in. Right. Yeah. And that's Pat, because he's such a competitive person. Right. He's a competitive aholic type that he just can't stop, even though he is absolutely done a better job of being less of a micromanager. And it's interesting because I feel like LeBron has done that some too, even though LeBron still micromanages some, he's kind of relinquished some control to AD and relinquished some control to Rondo, right? Like, I think that,
and even Vogel,
and even Vogel to an extent for sure. And yeah, I think Pat's done that in the organization too. He's got great people working with him, but to your point, he's got ultimate respect for the Lakers. I mean, look, Pat was almost the coach in 2004. You know, he was brought in by Dr. Buss and Jeannie and Jim and all them, and they wanted to hire Pat, you know, before, I think Rudy T, right? Rudy T was the coach at that point, or was going to be the coach. Right. Mm-hmm. It was right when Phil was out. So Pat came to LA, met with the Buss family, and he was like, so what's up with Shaq and Kobe? And they're like, oh no, we got to separate them. And he's like, separate them. He's like, No. Yeah. I'm not coaching this team. I'm not coming to coach this team if I can't have a chance to fix that, you know?
Yeah.
And look, I think Kobe and Pat would have been unbelievable together. Yeah. Like, if we're doing this fantasy thing, because they are also wired the same. You know what I'm saying?
Look, like, at what he's doing with Butler. It's the same thing.
Right. They are wired like the same. There is no doubt. Like, Kobe and Pat, I got chills just thinking about what those two would have been like. Because of how wired they were or are. So it turned out that when they told him that, no, it's not going to work, then the light bulb went off and said, wait a second, I can leave with one of these two then, you know, and take them back with me. And he ended up, and that's how the Shaq trade ended up happening. So he did think about it for once. And there was a time where I think he even beyond that, potentially, where he might have come back. But that has since long passed. You know, I know there were crazy rumors, you know, when LeBron came about Spoelstra and Riley coming as a package or whatever. That was not happening. So for a number of reasons on their end and on LeBron's end, like, I didn't see any of that. Although LeBron has shown a propensity to, like, forget the past as long as it helps him win. You know what I'm saying? Like, we've seen that, including J.R. Smith, who's on this roster, right? But I do think Pat has the ultimate respect for the Lakers. This is where he got his start. I mean, for the love of God, he was the traveling secretary, right? If Chick Hearn doesn't help him get on the broadcast and eventually get on, you know, get on a bench, his whole story is different. And it's wild because if you really think about it, man, to your point, like, Pat Riley, you know, they call him the godfather for a reason. He really is woven into the fabric of American basketball, from beating Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in high school as a high school player to playing in what I think is the most important college basketball game in the history of the sport, when his Kentucky team played in the 1966 national championship game against Texas Western, which started the first five African-American players on the court together. And, you know, he was also part of the consulting group that created that movie with Jerry Bruckheimer, Glory Road. And then obviously all the, you know, NBA stuff, right? Like, his coaching with the Lakers and the four titles and, you know, going to New York and getting them to a finals. And had John Starks actually, you know, got a few shots to go in, maybe he wins a championship there. And then going to Miami and being there the last 25 years, you know, and creating a legacy there and you know, winning three titles and six finals. And he's lived an unbelievable life, but you can't tell the story about American basketball without him.
Yeah, absolutely. The LeBron Riley thing interests me because, like, so you talked about how AD or Kobe and Pat Riley and Jimmy Butler and Pat Riley could have done incredible things together because of the way that those guys are wired. And I think there's just a minor tweak to LeBron that kind of stopped that relationship from fully flourishing. But they still, by the way, won a couple championships there. And what I want to take a second to discuss after the break here is what, like, you covered that stretch where Pat Riley and LeBron worked together. And, you know, we know kind of what it would mean for Riley or what it might have meant for him to win this one. But I'm interested in what you think, like this, where this rates for LeBron in terms of the championships he's won. Is this one I think might be kind of underrated, and we'll talk about that here in a bit. Today's show is brought to you in part by Built Bar. Head on over to builtbar.com, use promo code LOCKEDON, and save $10 off your first order, your second order, your third order, and however many orders you or your friends that you tell about this great product get to benefit from. They have great flavors, everything from caramel brownie. My personal favorite name is Cherry Barcia. The cookies and cream one is fantastic. And then they have the regular, you know, salted caramel is my original favorite flavor. And it's great no matter what you might be looking for. Are you looking to supplement a meal while you're trying to cut weight? Are you looking to have a little bit of extra protein to add to a meal if you're trying to gain weight? Are you trying to maintain weight by, you know, just having a nice healthy snack? It's going to be great for you. It's going to have you covered. So head on over again to builtbar.com, use promo code LOCKEDON, and save $10 off your next order. Again, promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at builtbar.com. So first and foremost, there's nothing that's going to touch him coming back from 3-1 and knocking off the 73-win Warriors, right? Like nothing is going to touch that title, I don't think. It wouldn't shock me though if this championship was behind that one, a couple tiers behind it, however, but still behind it, just because of what it means having felt like, you know, like last year he has his first substantial injury in like a decade and a half, doesn't even make the playoffs, comes back, and with the help of AD, by the way, and some of the stuff, the strings that he and his agent were pulling behind the strings to be able to make that work, and then now is able to win this championship. I would say this is what he would consider his second favorite championship. But where would you think having covered those teams, where do you think those Miami titles rank here?
So it's interesting because Richard Jefferson actually mentioned this on The Jump last week. He actually said he's had this conversation with LeBron because they were teammates in Cleveland. And he asked Bron, I mean, this was after the 2016 championship. And Bron said the first one is always the sweetest. And he said that because had I not gotten that one, Lord knows the grief I would have continued to take at that point. And he's right, because let's not forget, you know, we kind of forget. No, I mean, we don't, but I mean, we just kind of gloss over the fact that they were down 3-2 to Boston going to Boston. And he had that crazy 45-15-5 game. Yep. But I can assure you that the blueprint was absolutely on the line that year year.
Paul Pierce swears up and down he wasn't actually afraid of LeBron when he probably kind of sort of should have been.
I mean, LeBron was incredible in that game. I still think that is the single greatest LeBron game I've ever seen. It was all worldly, like, and every one of his teammates you talk to them on that team said that you could feel it on the bus, you know, like that he was just a different, you know, person in the bus and a different level of focus, which he's already good at focusing on the games. But so I've never asked him the question, you know what I'm saying? I don't know him like that, where I'm going to ask him that question unless it's in like a sit down professional setting. And I don't see that happening anytime soon. So just because he doesn't do very many of them. But that's what Richard says. And then he said the 2016 because of the curse and the 50 years of Cleveland and all that, whatever. So I think this one would be there, right there, you know, with all of them, right? Like for different reasons, right? Because of, oh my God, you got to be in the bubble for all this time and you're away from your family, right? And like everything that we have taken for granted, I think that people that know what it's like to win a championship will say that this one is as difficult, if not more difficult, than any of the other ones from, you know, from that perspective. I just don't know emotionally how that would rank. I would guess it would rank pretty high. I wouldn't know how to answer that question. But yeah, my guess is look, they're all pretty damn, it's pretty damn sweet, right?
I'm like, sure,
it's
like, yeah.
They're like your children. I don't think you, you know, maybe
hey, Elton
you have
John, a, what's your favorite song?
Yeah, maybe you have a favorite, but they're all your, you love them all. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So like, because here's the thing, if I'm taking the first, if Richard Jefferson says that the first one was his, was the one that was nearest and dearest to his heart because it was the first one. I mean, that next one with the Spurs was pretty damn crazy too. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So it's like, you know, granted, maybe behind Cleveland, but I don't know. Like, so I just think that's a tough question to answer. I will say this. I do think, and it's funny because I said this on radio, and I'm going to give you a shameless plug for your listeners. On my radio show, excuse me, on my radio show, which is on ESPN 710 in Los Angeles, weekday afternoons, 4 to 7 p.m. I said this. I said the Lakers need to treat game four like game seven. I repeated that on television yesterday. I repeated it everywhere I could repeat it. Even people in my text chats were asking me. I'm like, this, both teams need to treat this like game seven, because it, if it is an even series, that is not what the Lakers want. And it's everything the Heat want, because now all of a sudden it's a best two of three and it feels different. Yeah. And if it's 3-1 Lakers, then yeah, maybe the Heat still get one, but it doesn't, it feels like almost an insurmountable lead at that point, because you have LeBron and AD. Could they slip one more time? Could the Heat play out of their minds one more time? Sure. But I don't see it happening three in a row.
Yeah.
So, so it's funny when the story came out that he said this in the post game about the text message that he sent to the team and Markieff and I guess JR or whoever, had revealed that he said, we got to get this one, whatever, you know, play it like it's the last game or whatever it was. And I'm like, I felt good about myself here for a second. Cause I'm like, I'm not friends with him.
Yeah.
My relationship with him is professional. But man, I have been around him for a long, long time.
Yeah.
And I know sometimes what he's thinking before he thinks it, because I know what kind of a crazy competitor he is.
Right.
And I know he knows what's on the other side. You know, even as a wounded animal, you don't want to breathe life into them.
Yeah.
So, and let's face it, you also know that the media machine, partially, you know, myself included here, would have been like, what the hell is happening? How
right.
do you get to 2-2 when this team
yeah.
is playing without Goran Dragic, with a banged up Bam and a probably somewhat banged up still Jimmy Butler? You know what I mean? Like, how does this happen? So it would have been like really loud, the noise. And he knew that. He knew that, which is why he sent that text and which is why I felt.
It'd be a long break too. It'd be the extra day of hearing about this too.
Yes, you and Harrison and Pete and Darius and all these guys.
I'd had to log out of Twitter.
would have been just annoyed. You guys would have been so upset because Stephen A. would have been screaming. And I love Stephen A, but you know, and I don't know if he would have said this, but I just would assume he'd be like, Michael Jordan would have never lost two games these guys, you know, like it would have been amazing. You know, Max Kellerman would have said something crazy, Skip Bayless. So you knew that was
Bayless
coming,
would have just turned into a giant ball of light. Like his entire being would have just all come to fruition.
Yeah. So you knew it was going to be turned up, and so did he. So like some of this stuff is somewhat predictable, you know what I mean? So for their sake, I felt it was unbelievably important to treat that like a game seven, and they did, and they were able to pull it out. And it was a fun game for sure.
Miami did too, which made it even more fun.
Oh man. Yeah. They both fought like that. That was the most, would you agree? That was the most physical game of the four games.
Oh yeah. I mean the couple, it was funny because there were a couple plays. There have been a couple plays where Jay Crowder has just kind of tweaked LeBron and really kind of made him annoyed. And LeBron will kind of look at him and then collect himself. But yesterday was the first game that where Crowder, you know, threw him down the one play and then gave him an extra little shove on another one. And that was the first time LeBron like actually really reacted to him.
Yeah.
Where, you know, usually he just kind of like shrugs his shoulders and looks and then walks off. But he actually talked back to him. And that's where I was like, oh, so this is happening. We're doing this.
Yeah, he usually does the shrugging of the shoulders, cracking his neck left and right. Right. Yeah.
Right. Right. he's like, hey, Keith, handle this guy. But like he just kind of looked at him, and this was the only time, one of the few times really that I've actually really seen LeBron react fully.
Yeah.
Like that. So that was wild to watch. Last thing before we get you out of here, where do you think both these teams go? Are you in agreement? I think that the Lakers win this one in five. Personally, I think it's going to be another dogfight. I don't think Miami's going to, you know, they aren't going to lay down the way that the other three teams that the Lakers have played in game five have. But
yeah, I agree. I'm sorry, finish up. My apologies.
Oh, no. But I was just going to finish by saying that. But I think at the end of the day, the Lakers take this one home. But where do you think they go?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with everything you just said. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it feels like it's going to be five again. Could something crazy happen? Could the Heat get hot from three and win another game? Sure, it's possible. Mm-hmm. But I think the more likely scenario here is Lakers in five. But to your point, we've seen it already. They're not going to give it to you. You know what I'm saying? Like, they are going to scratch and claw, unlike the Rockets. You know, the Blazers were hurt, so I don't want to trash them. I mean, you know, literally their two best players were banged up. And you know, Denver fought, but they looked gassed at the end too.
Yep.
You know, so I want to give them some credit. But basically I'm just saying they're not the Rockets. You know what I'm saying? Like, the Rockets gave up on that thing. Like, it was fairly obvious. But that won't be the case here in that regard. But yeah, I feel that'll be the case. And you know, even beyond this, like, I think the Lakers are in an unbelievable position to still get another year or two out of LeBron at, you know, close to peak level, right?
Yeah.
I've said this, and look, people laughed at me when I said it in the preseason. Like, I picked the Lakers to win on ESPN.com back over a year ago now, because that's where we're at, crazy. Right? Over a year ago, I picked them. Now, I did say they'd play Philly in that series, but that didn't work out so well. But the Lakers part, I got right. And I said, you've got LeBron reinvigorated. And you've got LeBron in a situation where he didn't play basketball for 6 months. He hasn't had that much time off, I believe, since his second season in the NBA.
Yeah.
And he's got all the noise, right? Like, he's older.
Yeah.
Yeah. You were the guy. You were the guy. You were the guy. I only found this out for your audience. I don't know if they know this. I actually tweeted. I said, I mean, listen, I get LeBron chip on his shoulder, all that. I said, but who on God's earth actually called him Washed King? And like, I don't buy that for a second. And then you sent me a screenshot of yourself. I was like, I can't believe you're the guy that he's referencing. That's amazing. But anyway,
those
were the reasons. Those were the reasons I felt. And then, of course, adding Anthony Davis, like, immediately I felt that he would be the best fit LeBron ever had next to him. Because he's got the crazy athleticism. He's got basically all the games of everyone he's ever played with in some way, if you really think about it.
That's cool. That's a cool way to put it.
Yeah. Like, you know, he's got, remember, you know, 2011, Dwayne Wade was going to be the finals MVP if LeBron just played to his averages in that series. Right. Like,
you just post up JJ Barea, Dwayne Wade's finals MVP.
Right. Yeah. Like, so he, and then, you know, Chris had an amazing skill set, was an excellent defender. He was the best pick and roll defender in the league at that time. Obviously then could shoot, right, as a big man too. And even though he's not anywhere near as athletic or strong as AD, was still like really dirty in the post with his footwork and all that stuff. So it felt like he was a combination of kind of those guys and a little bit of Kevin Love with the, you know, Kevin is more physical than Chris and just kind of, you know, Kyrie in some ways too, because of just kind of the mentality of, and Dwayne has this obviously too, like Dwayne and Kyrie both had the, I'm going to get you in the fourth quarter stuff. And we've seen more of that from AD. So this particular season. So I feel like AD is kind of like a combination of all of like LeBron's best teammates in a lot of ways. That to me felt good. And I still think, as I mentioned, I think LeBron is still going to be LeBron next year. So you've got a window. It's maybe not super wide open, but I think that LeBron takes care of his body in a way, Anthony, that we've never seen another athlete. So even as his skills erode some, as long as Anthony Davis is still playing at this unbelievable level that he's now hit and can keep that going for several years and maybe even add to his game, as long as the pieces around them fit, I feel like the Lakers window is at least another several years to be in the finals regularly. I know the Warriors are coming back, right? And I think that I'm curious to see what they look like, if they make a deal, if they add a player. You know, what happens in the East will be interesting with Kyrie and Kevin and obviously Giannis and what Milwaukee does. And obviously this Heat team will be better and Boston will continue to ascend. So I think that, you know, and Toronto will be there because they have a great coach and they've got a good nucleus and a great front office. So I feel like the top of the NBA will be really, really fun, but the Lakers should have the at least initial edge going into the next couple of seasons.
Yep. I think so too. All right. Before we get you out of here, I'm going to help you plug something because I found it really, really cool. But you did the Hispanic Heritage Month celebration on your show with ESPN. As somebody, I'm half Mexican, and I, you know, I feel like the representation is continuing to get better of Latinos everywhere. But it was something that I was really happy to see you put together, and it looked like it went off really well.
Yeah, it was great. We did it on Zoom, obviously, like everyone's doing right now.
Yep.
We had George Lopez on, and we had Adrian Gonzalez on, and we had my buddy Beto Duran, who does boxing for DAZN, and Serena Morales, who works for the Rams, and Pablo Cisniega, the goalie at LAFC. And we just had a blast. We just told real fun stories about growing up Latino, and you know, obviously we're all different. Some were Mexican, I'm Cuban, some were Colombian, some were Puerto Rican, right? Like it just... And just kind of talking about how, even though we're different, we have a lot of similarities and how we all kind of have these, even though we're not a monolith, we have like these common goals and we need to kind of be more united, really. Because I think that a lot of us grew up. And I think that's just, look, it's just a normal thing for Latinos, right? We represent the country, right? It's like, oh, I'm not Latino. I'm Cuban. I'm Mexican. I'm Puerto Rican. I'm Dominican. I'm whatever. Mm-hmm. Right. You know? And I think that more and more, I think the people that are younger than even you and I are starting to think about themselves as that, but also part of something larger. And I think that was a big part of our discussion and how we can kind of help continue to grow for ourselves and clearly help that next couple of generations kind of find their footing too. So, and we had fun sports discussions and George Lopez was amazing. Like he was just, he had us all rolling and laughing and it was great. And he called Adrian Gonzalez out right at the top and said, hey, bro, you know, you look like Ernie, man, who was my best friend on my TV show. And he really does look just like Ernie.
It's so perfect.
Oh, my God. It was amazing. But that was like the icebreaker. And it was just tremendous. So, yeah, it was fun to do. It's still up. You can watch like the re-airs on YouTube. ESPN Los Angeles' Twitter account has them up. And you can just kind of go there and find them there. They're pretty fun discussions.
Yep, I just retweeted them from my account too. So if you guys are looking for it, you can just find them on at Anthony Irwin LA. George, I appreciate you hopping on here a ton, given how busy I'm sure you are. As we not only wrap up this season, but we have the draft coming up. We have free agency coming up.
I can't even wrap my head around that just yet. Like it's crazy. But you're right. Yes.
Yeah, we have quite the quote unquote off season up ahead of us. So, thanks for hopping on, man. This was a lot of fun as always.
Always, brother. Anytime. Thanks. Stay safe.
All right, everybody. We will be back. Pete and I will be back to preview Game 5. But for now, have a great rest of the day. Make some deals. We'll talk to you tomorrow.